to a week late episode of the Danger Room. With me, I have Deaton. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Just fine. And we got Sooner back from his NashCon dub. What's up, man?
What's happening, fellas?
All three of us talk a lot, so this is mostly just hanging out. But I figured we would just talk about some NashCon. Sooner and I went. We talk about just the event, and then we talk about what lists we ran and why Sam did so well for the third time.
Dominates NashCon.
Yeah, people were asking me because I had a Sam duel with Shield, and people were asking me what my plan was to run Sam, and I just told them that I'd be a fool to not bring Sam to NashCon.
It's true. It's home court advantage.
I was proven right. So I guessed correctly. But no, I think... Sorry, Dean, what was it?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Yeah, at least for me, I guess we could just start with this. I decided to bring Sam because I was nervous about some of the Shield matchups, specifically like Ghost Rider, and obviously X-Men is always a consideration with Shield. And like 15 threat is also pretty annoying for Shield. I don't know, Sooner, I know why, but maybe explain to listeners why you dueled with Shield the Avengers.
Yeah, my plan was to play Wakanda solo. That was my plan coming in. It was funny because I just a month or two ago came from Lone Star Open where I did a Wakanda Sam duel. And I did that because I didn't feel like Wakanda could hold up to Guardians of the Galaxy, especially with Cosmic Ghost Rider. And I also thought Malekith was a tough matchup for them. So I did a Sam duel there. And coming into NashCon, I was on the fence of what I wanted to run. I knew I wanted to play Wakanda, but I decided I was just going to go solo Wakanda. I could bring pieces like Bill and Dynamo and stuff like that to help those matchups. And then I played in the team tournament and the roster, and I just came out of that team tournament not super confident with my ability to go 8-0 or 7-1 with Wakanda in the tournament. And I was a little scared of Guardians, Cosmic Ghost Rider, and Malekith. So the night before, I chose that I would run a duel and I would run the dream team with basically all the Wakandans. And I kicked Okoye out of the war band and brought in the dream team, and it paid off.
Dean, explain to the listeners what the dream team is.
The dream team is the Sooner special of Sam Wilson. It is Luke Cage, Beta Ray Bill, Dr. Voodoo, and another three threat. And that is usually Iron Man. Some people play like Pyro and things like that, but really it's those four and a three pointer.
Yeah, 17. It's 17. Yeah, with this list you get obviously Assemble, Heroes for Hire, and sometimes Helios if you want it. And I think we've all played this team a lot now and nearly never lose with it.
My win rate is directly correlated to when I started playing this team instead of playing Hulk all the time. Sooner, like, yelling at me in the chat every day, stop playing Hulk so much. And then I started winning games. So turns out it's pretty good.
Yeah, when I picked up Shield, I had a hunch that Sam duel would be like the solution to their X-Men problem. And I tried a bunch of that, and we had Hulk in there. Hulk was very good, and the points never worked out because Hulk was so expensive. I just couldn't get enough models to make the duel work, so I abandoned it. But Sooner decided that don't play Hulk and play Bill instead. The points just opened up tremendously.
Yeah, the combination of Bill and Voodoo is just so superior to Hulk Black Widow. It's just insane how much better it is.
Yeah, especially now with so many teams having such good Hulk plans. Hulk is still really good into something like Malekith, where like the volume of attacks is condensed and he's going to have like the Dark Reign big stuff, and you can usually cage your way through that. But a lot of the other teams like Guardians, you can't cage your way through five models. And so things like that, more teams are becoming like that, where Hulk is much more easily dealt with, I think, now. And so his value is actually, I think, lower than it's been basically since he got a red.
I also think that you're... So Hulk, we all know, is a huge threat on the board, but he's that one singular threat where when you have Bill and Voodoo, you have two massive threats on the board. So you can spread those threats out to one side of the board and also another side of the board instead of having just one big threat that people can game plan around. It's very effective.
And I think one of the nice, really nice thing, it's the way they all synergize together, right? Like those three models, those two in Cage. Because a lot of times if you have Voodoo, you just want to staple Luke Cage to him and you want to protect Voodoo and let him do his thing. And Bill doesn't need protected. He's so tanky, able to work on his own in a lot of ways that core works really well of having a four threat who requires attention, who doesn't need protected, which I think is fairly unique in the way that it works together.
Yeah, I had played one Sam game in a year. I basically stopped playing Sam when the Crisis Changes dropped. And then I played one game before NashCon and just YOLO'd him. And it was perfectly fine. I think, I don't know. It's not, I didn't find it super hard to pilot, but I think the team just rewards good fundamentals and just knowing how Voodoo's degeneracy works. I don't know. It feels really strong. And I brought it because I didn't feel super confident dealing with Cosmic Ghost Rider. And I even had Montessi in my list, and I was worried that if I had to play on that and map E against Ghost Rider, that it would be too slow and I would die. I actually just killed him twice. One time I didn't kill him, but I could have Helios'd him, but I didn't need to win. And then I just killed him the other time. I found Bill just dunked him.
Bill's really good. Everything on Bill's card is anti-Ghost Rider.
Yeah, so both games I played, this is probably interesting for listeners. So I played against Cosmic Ghost Rider twice at 15, and it was Gamma Montessi both times. My opponents both, I took extracts to dodge Researcher because I hate that Crisis. And I, of course, pull Gamma without fail, and my opponents just immediately pick 15 because they're scared of everything in my list. And then they put down Ghost Rider and something else. And one time it was Supreme Strange and Voodoo. And then the other time was Shadowlands, Daredevil, and Ulic. And both times, Ghost Rider basically is shooting my characters near deployment or pretty far up. And I basically just take two hits on the chin into Bill or Luke or something. And then immediately I burned Heroes for Hire, like top of round two. I was like, I cannot. Basically, it came down to I can't lose a Bill activation. If I lose Bill, I'm like screwed. If Luke goes down, it's fine. But if Bill can activate, I won't lose this game. So that was my logic, and it worked out. And one game I got a stun on the Ghost Rider, so he lost his psychosis going into the next round, which was horrible for my opponent. And the other time I had Bill just bodied him. Like, he survived, he just punched him a bunch and then just chucked terrain at him. He just kind of died. I don't know. And then Helios'd him.
Yeah, I think Bill, right, is just, he's got everything that he needs, and he's so tanky that it's good. I do think that point about burning heroes top of two, I think that's pretty good generic advice, is that with a lot of these, this team, Ghost Rider, whatever's running him, naturally is down six threat of scoring potential, right, in a lot of ways. And so what you want to do is not let them gain the body advantage and even that out right away. That's what all the tall teams have done for a long time, and you really have to just control the tempo of the game. So using it early, protecting your stuff, making sure you can put them on their back foot and reverse those roles where they need the attrition to work in order to keep up with you, that's super strong.
Yeah, I found Ghost Rider is definitely annoying to play against. It's very eye roll when your opponent rolls four hits on psychosis immediately and just starts shooting your models in deployment. It's very annoying. So I'll just leave it at that. But
yeah,
I also played another game against Ghost Rider Guardians with Hellfire, and Ulic, Dynamo, and Bill just ran him over. Like, it was just a stampede. Just died again.
Get rid of him.
I think if you have like certain models that can bite him back, it's not so bad. But I wouldn't say he's fun to play against.
Yeah, I would agree. How many times did you play him over the weekend?
Big fat zero.
Zero. Good. Why'd we even bring him on? I thought we were just going to complain about Ghost Rider.
If we want to complain about Ghost Rider, I can definitely do that.
Nope. Go. We'll timestamp the Gamers Guild episode. We'll just insert that here.
Exactly. So
I think both of you, the big question that I've seen about the NashCon stuff and the Sam specifically has been, you bring Sam as this sort of cover our bases splash, and then you both play either, I think Sooner didn't play him twice, and Mike, you didn't play him zero times. Is that true?
Who?
Did you played Sam every game, right?
All but one. And the game I played Shield, I took a massive risk and I knew it would be a risk and it didn't work out for me.
Yep. So why Sam would be my question to both of you. Like, why did he end up getting played so much? And I know we've talked about the Dream Team, but how do you go about making that decision?
Let's start with Sooner, since I just went on a kind of a soapbox with Ghost Rider.
Yeah, so the Saturday, the, I guess, preliminary round was five rounds. I played Wakanda two rounds and Sam three rounds. The rounds I played Sam, it was mostly matchup dependent. I played him into Shadowlands Daredevil because I felt my Sam team could hold up against Shadowlands' offensive output better than Wakanda. One thing I've found about Wakanda is if you go up against a really killy team, if you don't get decent dice, and I know they have lots of rerolls, but if you don't get great dice, they just die. They're not, besides Panther, they're not tanky characters. I played Shadowland Daredevil, so I chose Sam. And then my last two rounds were against Aaron Franklin playing Web Warriors. And I believe, we played 20 point. I think my other two games were both at 20 points. And the only way I could go six wide at 20 points was to play Sam. I could not play Wakanda. I would have had to go five wide. And both of those games were on Scoundrels and Scrolls. I know the game against Aaron was, I believe, Scoundrels and Scrolls. So there's a lot of points on the board for that game. So I felt more comfortable going wider than going five wide with Wakanda. So that was why on Saturday, I ended up playing more Sam.
Yeah, I think the Wakanda game you played, at least it was like the first round, right? I saw it was into Hydra player.
Yeah, the first round and the third round. Yeah.
Yep, played against Hydra both times.
Yeah, and that's it. I felt like Hydra couldn't just kill me. Although both of those had Sleeper Agent Hulk, and good God, is he annoying to play against. It's fine. It's totally a fair, I'm not complaining at all about it. It's a fair thing, but man, you got to really, really think those games out. But yeah, because my last round I played against Weapon X. And again, it was a scenario where I felt I needed a more tanky team than Wakanda. And that's why I ultimately played Sam there. And then I guess I'll just go into it. I kind of made the decision. So Top Cuts came around and I just kind of made the decision that unless I got a really good Wakanda matchup, I was just going to play Sam. And game one was against X-Men and I really liked, it was 17 points. So I got to play the Dream Team, and Voodoo is very powerful in my opinion against X-Men. So that's why I dropped them there. And then round two, I got Midnight Suns. And again, I got 17 points, I believe. No, I got 18 points. So I just took out Iron Man and put in Black Panther because that's a real good mix. And then the finals was a repeat against Aaron. And again, I felt good about that matchup. I lost the first game 16-15, but it was a very close game. But I had a huge bill with early, like round three. A massive activation where he just completely whiffed with a size 4 throw, summon the storm and a stormbreaker with full rerolls into Voodoo, and he didn't kill him. And if he gets him in that game, it's pretty much locked up at that point, or it's very favorable my game. And he didn't, so I ended up losing the game because Voodoo was able to activate, steal a extract and run away, and that ended up losing on points. But I just felt good about the matchup after that. That's my spiel of why I chose Sam mostly in those games.
Makes a lot of sense. Mike, what about you?
Yeah, I played 5 rounds on Saturday, 2 of which were into Cosmic Ghost Rider at 15 points, 2 of which were into X-Men, and then the other one was into Web. And I had none of my shield webs, like my anti-web stuff was shield because I played Avengers. Normally I would have Agent Venom. He's the big one, and potentially even MedPack. Clear status conditions. So I didn't have either of those, and I won that game on time because there was round timers, but my Voodoo was dead and Aaron still had like his Voodoo and his Spider-Woman and Miles like still to go in that round. And definitely it would have been a very close game. Like we probably would have tied the round that the game ended on, but it definitely would have been a close game. Dice probably decide, but he was looking pretty good. My Voodoo was gone. So it was just an unfortunate reality of round timers. But yeah, I just did not feel confident with Shield at 15 points specifically into Ghost Rider. Him counting skulls on defense, being immune to incinerate and bleed, makes it very difficult for me to punch through his defense. And chains and his range 4 gun and his teleport make it so that even if I eye in this guy something, there's a high chance I'm not even out of range. And it's rough. I haven't played it a ton, but the times I was able to beat, or I've beaten Ghost Rider with Shield each time. I haven't actually lost this model, funnily enough. Still complain about him. It's because my opponent just doesn't count priority and they kill too many of my models and then I get priority and I Helios. As soon as they give me priority, I just send all my models into Ghost Rider to flip him and then Helios him immediately. So yeah, if those opponents just played better and it didn't give me priority to get Helios or killed Iron Man, then it's like a lot more challenging, I think. But I just didn't feel great about it. I also just, I absolutely am done with Researcher and 15 threat for the most part. I will just take extracts if my opponent has Researcher. I don't even care what their secures are. And I know Shield's good on it. I probably just suck at playing 15. Yeah, I'm just done with Researcher and I don't like Gamma, but there's nothing, I can't avoid it completely. But the reason I say that is because Avengers, having the Avengers duel allowed me to cut both those and play Scoundrels and Skrulls, which I really enjoyed. I'd rather just play high threat games. I feel like there's just more things. There's more contingencies that I can create. Whereas like at low threats, it's, oh, Ghost Rider spiked me. I lost Nick. I guess it's locked up.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear both of you have differing reasons for adding Sam, like covering specific bases, I think, and more generic. I think Sooners seems, at least to me, more generic than yours, Mike, where it's just a sort of a lack of confidence in Wakanda overall versus you trying to find the way to answer those couple last questions. So I think it's really interesting that you arrived at the same spot from differing angles.
So I do think that Shield has been a meta LVO, and I think people finally get it. And I think they need more tools to adapt. I don't like their position in the meta right now. Personally, they're like fine. I find them to be pretty threat dependent. And it could just be because I don't go all in on bringing just full Shield roster a lot of the time. But I feel like I feel like everybody has Gamma Researcher in their list. Everybody. I just cannot avoid 15. Always pull it every time. And everyone sees my list, 15 threat. And don't even look.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of it.
Yeah, I don't have that trash. Get that trash out of here. I don't have it in my list.
You're running Wakanda. How do you not play Gamma?
Wakanda is not the king of Gamma anymore. That's circa 2012.
That's a long time ago. Sooner, what would you say? You've played Wakanda now, I think, a couple of these big events. Mm-hmm. Where do you think they sit? Do you think, like Mike, where you could maybe be more competitive going all in on some of the stuff they can do? Do you think that they're, what are your thoughts on the affiliation?
I think they're a solid affiliation. I think you can take them to a big event and win. I won my 2 games that I played with Wakanda. So I certainly think that they are solid. I wouldn't put them up with the big boy affiliations at this point. I have found, and it could be just the way that I am playing Wakanda, but I'm trying to play a lot of the Wakanda characters. And they are just so dice dependent, man. They just, like M'Baku and Killmonger, like M'Baku's got a lot of health and Killmonger's got six on his front side, but those two models just die. And so if they're not, if you're not getting big plays with Wakanda Forever and Killmonger killing things, it's a tough ask. I'm not really leaning. You can play them. Brandon did at LSO and go real heavy with extract play. But unfortunately, I think you have to play Voodoo like he was because he facilitates that. And I just don't have Voodoo in my list currently. So I think they're a solid tier. I look back on it and I wish like I would have just done a solo Wakanda and see how I would have done. But Sam is just such a comfort zone. And when I have Sam, I just don't feel like I'm ever getting screwed. I feel like I can win diceless games. What I mean by diceless games is I can win games where my opponent has a big advantage in dice. Whereas I just don't feel like I can do that when I play Wakanda.
Yeah, that's something that's interesting because I was talking to Deaton about this today. And I was like, yeah, man, the Sam team, you just put them on the table. You're like, I'm just going to play MCP. I always felt like my models did something. I felt like they were good. They didn't die easily. And I could just score games, like just by not dying. And I feel like there's a very small subset of models that don't die right now. And that's all I needed. Like you just play normal MCP, pick up points, score points, run around, displace models, and win the game. I didn't feel like I was, when I play like Shield or anything else, like a lot of other things, I feel like turn zero is just so heavily weighted. Do I have the matchup knowledge and know like exactly what my opponent's doing and bring the right tech piece? Like exactly. Sam, I just show up with the dream team, quote unquote, and it's fine. I'm just going to play. That's good enough. That's nice.
Yeah. And like when I'm playing Wakanda, so I set up big turns and it's like, all right, Killmonger's going to go and I'm setting up my big turn and I'm like, it's complete butt clenching because if Killmonger flubs this, I'm screwed. And yes, I set it up where it's extremely hard for him to flub because I roll so much dice and he's got good dice and he's good at killing. But in my loss to Gil in the team tournament, I set up the dream of the usurp
Jabari
into Hulk, which is, if you do the math, it's around like a 50-50 for Killmonger to just flat kill him by himself almost, or with a little help from like Shuri and one Wakanda Forever attack. And I think I did 6 damage to Hulk. Yeah, it's just, there's just a lot of butt clenching plays when I'm with Wakanda that's, all right, I need the dice to go my way here. Whereas like with Sam, I just never feel that way. I'm like, all right, Sam charges, does a shield throw. All right, he didn't do anything. I don't really care. I'll just move up onto this point and your turn.
Yeah, exactly. I find that with shield a lot too. I'm like, I can set up the most elaborate crap ever where, all right, my opponent's going to attack me. I'm going to sack to Bullseye. Bullseye's going to die. I'm going to get VPs and got your backs and I'm going to get Pryo because he dazed a bunch of my unactivated models. And then all I need is Bucky to not whiff this got your back. Nothing. Slip him off, please.
Yeah. And I models like one of my, my third round, it was a close game. I played Dakota. He's a really good player. And the grunts, Red Skull grunts in 4 attacks did 9 damage to Black Panther. And it's stuff like that. That's just, if that happens to the Wakanda characters, I don't have any, there's no fallback that I can, no pun intended. There's no fallback that I can do that helps me. I just start losing models. And if Wakanda starts losing models, it's bad news.
Yeah, exactly. You're pretty weak. So just, you have no damage reduction. Ignoring Panther, you have no damage reduction. You just have 3 and 4, just 3 dice, 2 dice defense.
Yeah. Shuri's just 5 health, 3-3-3. Killmonger's a 4-3-3 with 6 and 5 health. And Baku has a good health pool, but I mean, he has 2 energy defense. They just, if dice don't go their way, they just, it's bad news. Now, I will say the thing about Wakanda is if the dice do go your way, it feels fantastic. Because you're like, oh, I got 4 hits. Oh, okay. Let me reroll these other 2 dice. Oh, I got 5 now. Let me just do 1 more Wakanda reroll. Oh, 6 hits. So when it does go your way, it feels great. But I just felt in an 8-game tournament, and this did show itself. I had a couple games where dice really didn't go my way, and I just happened to play Sam, and I probably don't win those games if I play with Honda.
You said your dice were just terrible in like the first two cut games, right?
The first cut game against Andy, yeah, it was extremely one-sided dice, and I still won the game. And it's basically on the back of Voodoo.
Yeah, I think it's no secret that Voodoo has been overpowered, if you will, for 2 years now. He just has won numerous events and tournaments. It's pretty endless. Yeah, he's just really good. He allows you to just do things that don't matter about dice.
So. Yeah, we played Scoundrels and Paranoia, and I just was able to prevent him from ever scoring the extra paranoia point. And I was basically, either I had 2 or 3 paranoias the entire game, and he had 1 or pretty much won most of the game. So yeah, that extract advantage is just what pushed me through, because it was a close game. It was like 5-4, then 8-6, then like 12-10, and then 15-11 was the final score. So it was a close game, and it was literally just me keeping the extracts off of him.
Yeah, this brings up another point when we talk about Voodoo. I've come to the conclusion that every list should probably just be playing Voodoo, Bill, and or Dynamo. I think like even Aaron's Webb's list was running Dynamo and Voodoo, and he was like, yeah, Agent Venom should just be Bill.
Yeah, they're just the answer to the meta right now. Those three models answer the meta very well if you have them.
But those three models are also just so well-rounded, right?
Correct.
Between the three of them, they handle every scenario.
And Voodoo is insane everywhere, but he is extra insane in Avengers. I think it's by far his best spot in the game, hands down. I don't even think it's close. I think even comparing X-Men Voodoo, I think that it's just so much easier to keep him safe.
Yeah, it's really the Sam leadership, Luke, and giving him a symbol.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he gets going in X-Men a lot easier than he does in Avengers, just because the hop gives him action economy, but I agree with you. The defensive nature of what Voodoo needs to be doing is just, it's unparalleled in the Avengers.
And what you do, and everybody knows this, it's a secret trick, but I played Scrolls and Paranoia a lot this weekend or past weekend, and those are midline grabs, or you set it up as a midline grab. And if they don't have a grab and run, then Voodoo's going to get a chance to walk up, shoot you, and possibly steal your extract round 1. Because if you set it up right and if you play it correctly, then they can't go get that extract without Voodoo having that chance.
Yeah, the pressure he puts on the board is stupid, right? In a lot of ways. It's because even if they do have a grab, that's a concession they're making somewhere else. It's either a tactics card or characters, or he does warp that spot a lot. But we've been living with it for how long?
Yeah, like, nothing new. That's been around for 2-3 years. I don't feel bad about playing it.
Yeah, it is what it is. It is, Voodoo is definitely NP to people who like don't understand his quote unquote nuance for right or wrong.
And I think there are times even when you do, right? Like, he's just, I would argue that the peak Voodoo turn feels just as bad as to someone as like a peak, let's say, Malekith turn. Getting 3 models shut off and then Voodoo grabs something and double runs away. You're just like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
So he's the opposite side of those coins. But I think it's when you look at like the Avengers and why they're so strong, I think it's a lot of just Voodoo being what he is, combined with that reactive nature that you guys were talking about earlier. Sam just shows up and isn't really going to blow anybody away with a turn 1 or 0 plan, right? Sam's not going and grabbing all the extracts, and he doesn't have unlimited control necessarily on turn 1.
No, bro, but Sam's the trash man. We dubbed him the trash man.
He is the ultimate garbage collector.
Oh, God.
It's Sam's just the ultimate. I said this on the drive to the airport with Sooner. I was like, yeah, Sam is just the best at doing bitch work.
Yeah,
he's fast. He is flying. He's cheap, and it's just I had a turn in a game where Bill's gonna die to attack, fall back, so my opponent can't pick up my extract, and then next activation, hey Sam, go get that.
Yeah, it's funny because everybody's always, oh, Sam's so good. He throws his shield and then he pushes it and then ricochets it into the deployment. He kills two models. And I'm like, bro, that happens one in a million times. I played 8 games and Sam did 7 damage the entire tournament with his shield throws. So it's like people overblow this, like Sam does all this work, and Sam is a good model. There is no doubt about it. And he probably shouldn't be able to push a model and then ricochet to something out of his range of his attack. That's just gameplay. But Sam doesn't really necessarily always do a whole lot. What Sam is exceptional at is A, providing a leadership that is very good, and B, his other models do the heavy lifting, and he just says, okay, thanks for pushing, or hey, Bill, thanks for throwing that guy off the point, and then you go score that other point. I'll just double move to that point and score it. And he's just very good at doing the little point value things. And I dubbed him the trash man because he just cleans up. But you leave somebody on one point or one hit point, then Sam can charge, do a shield throw, hopefully get that one damage, and then just move right back to his point. And it's just funny how everybody dubs him as like this master king, but really he's just a trash man. He just cleans up while his big hitters, Voodoo and Bill and Iron Man with Helios, they do most of the legwork.
Yep, that's the gist of it. Yeah, I think we said it on the last cast, but I don't think Sam doesn't need like a sweeping nerf. Like it's a lot of it's backed by Voodoo.
Yep.
And a lot of it is just the meta again. Like,
right.
AMG just keeps releasing killers that want to kill you in the deployment zone. Sam's just really good at dealing with it.
Yep, he's the best anti-attrition around.
I also think that Sam's value himself has gone up as the Hulk Widow to Voodoo Bill change is huge for Sam because of Airlift. Mm-hmm. Like the ability to keep those models in position in a way you couldn't do with Hulk before, and it wasn't valuable to do with Widow. Now these are two very high value Airlift targets. If you're doing it on either of those two, it's probably really good for you. So I think that allowed that part of his card to shine in a really positive way.
Yeah, he's just a toolbox. I mean, I joke around that he's right. A trash man, and I do like that nickname for him, but he's just a big toolbox on the table is what he is. And that's what I mean. His team does the work, and then you activate Sam and say, okay, what tool do I need this round for you to do? And that's what he is. He's just a really good toolbox, and the list is really good anti-attrition.
I love his toolbox nature. I wish there were more models like that in the game. I think he's essentially just a support unit, and I think Gwen classifies in that unit, in that classification, I'm using a bunch of words, as well, and I don't know. I just supports a lot of text. I think it's fun. You get to choose which stuff you want to use. And you always feel like you have agency to do things.
I feel in a way that's very similar to how I view Miles. He's less supporty, but he has a lot of different options. Do I want to go stand on this thing and just try and survive? Do I want to, which is not safe anymore, but do I want to try and go get extracts? Do I want to try and pivot into being this control piece? Do I want to try and attrition things with my throws? Those models have always been the ones that I find to be super fun, where the card either has lots of text, but it's like, they apply themselves in different ways, but it all kinds of works together. It's really good. It's a lot of fun making decisions with Sam. Like Sooner says, he's the toolbox. So figuring out which one to use and how to use it makes it really engaging for me to play Sam.
Yeah. I think we've talked enough about Sam.
Yeah.
We could probably talk all night about Sam.
Yeah, we're gonna get into the territory of the old Jacob interview of 4 Sam players saying, well, no, those days were, that list
was. Yeah, that was a different Sam list.
Yeah, that was the Sam list of I'm going to kill you.
Rip Enchantress.
I miss Enchantress. I say that unironically.
I miss all you've got. I say that. Nope. ironically.
But no, I was going to talk about NashCon a little bit. So I've been, Tudor and I have been at NashCon three times, all three times. Deaton went last year. NashCon's a super fun event. Nate from the Gamers Guild hosts it. It's at the Sheraton in Nashville by the airport. Not really. It was, I think attendance was down just ever slightly this year. And I think a lot of it is because there's just other events to go to. I know, for example, Sploosh couldn't go to both that and WTC, and he chose to go to WTC. So that's just another one example.
That was the same way.
Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of people just had to pick which ones they wanted to go to now, versus when first NashCon, it was like, that was the only event, really.
Right.
But yeah, it's a fun event. I like going. I like seeing all the people in that area of the country. Yeah, I don't really. The only negative I have was the round timers. The round timers were not good. Thankfully, I only went to time. I know I went to time in my loss, but I think I lost that game anyway. But yeah, there were tons of people going to time. And it's like any game on Researcher is probably just going to time.
What for the round timers?
For people 2 hours?
Yeah, I think it was 50. You had 15 minutes to deploy and all that stuff, or crisis, all that stuff. And then I think 50 minutes a person or somewhere around there. But yeah, it was like 2 hours. But we just had our cast for Gamers Guild recently. And we spent a lot of time talking about chess clocks and the round timers and everything, because it's been like this the last 3 years. He's done round timers every year, but yeah, this year by far had the most people going to clock. There were a lot, whereas previous years you saw 4 or 5 games throughout the tournament go to, and that was it, where you were seeing like 4 or 5 games around go to clock almost.
It's a good point, because yeah, they've never used clocks at that event, and I don't know why now is when people start going to clock. If anything, I would expect it to be previous years, because like single extracts and stuff existed.
Yeah, but I think the game, if people are going the more attrition route, and I'm not saying that whole tournament was, but that seems to be where MCP is at right now, those games actually go longest, because those games, they play low scoring scenarios, and yeah, you can just get really good dice and dice your opponent right off the board and win round 3 or round 4, but most of those games usually go to round 5 or round 6.
Yeah, that's a good point. This might have been the highest percentage of the tournament playing just aggroless. I have no evidence of that, but maybe that's what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's a theory, right?
There was a good amount of Ghost Rider, I think, and I think there was some Malekith had a little bit of showing.
Yeah, there wasn't a ton of Malekith. I think a lot of people just don't like to play Malekith because of the negative aura that is around him.
Yeah, he definitely is. When I had Malekith in my shield list, I didn't even play practice games with him. I just was like, just feels bad. He's just in the list and people are just like, oh, it's Malekith. Okay.
Yeah, you know, which I think is unfortunate. Necessarily, but the model like itself is super cool. I think there's a version of his like play pattern that could be cool, but he's just gotten such a negative that people are just done with it in a lot of ways. I think that's unfortunate for the game, because I do think they have this big centerpiece model that I'd like to see people be more accepting of, while also agreeing that it's not fun to deal with.
Yeah, he was just a big giant blunder on AMG's part overall, and it's too bad.
Yeah, I was just going to quickly say, I've been to 3 big events, quote unquote, a big event, 20 plus people. I've been to 3 of those in the last 3 months. And the first event, not one player was playing Malekith. The second event, I believe one player was playing Malekith. And then at NashCon, there were some Malekiths, but it wasn't like an overwhelming number. Doesn't seem to be played a whole ton.
Just to swing it back a little bit, there looks like there were 10 games in the first 2 rounds that were either tablings or went to time. So no one won at 16 points in those games.
Yeah,
and that's just
lot.
The first 2 rounds. That seems really high. So,
Sooner, you said something at the event that also just Dean reminded me of. You said you've never heard so many people say they've been tabled before.
Yes. We went to dinner Saturday night, and you would maybe hear of one player talk about a game they got tabled out of all 60 players previously. There was people left and right talking about how they got tabled. Just at the dinner we went to with 20 people, there were like four different people talking about how they got tabled. And I was like, yeah. This is wild. Like, this used to almost never hear about tabling.
So what's interesting is, I remember when the crisis change happened, people were like, wow, this is like going to speed the game up. So what happened? Like, herbs is gone now. Single extracts are all but gone. But yet people are getting tabled more.
I think that the games are faster in a lot of ways. I think that the crises force more engagement.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's a big part of it is something like Senators. They're 6 points, but you can't move. And so you're always in danger of being attacked. Combine that with some of the stuff that's come out that has really efficient action economy, like Ulic and Logan and Ghost Rider. And I think it's those kinds of things in combination.
Yeah, speaking of getting blasted, I played against Gil's X-Men, and he like got to get some aired Logan up, but then X-Men jumped him. It's like attacking my back B. I'm just like, oh, I hate this so much.
Sounds fantastic.
I have to tell the story. I had the two instances of insanity at this event. My opponent, my round one opponent, my Iron Man is on two health injured left. And my opponent caught Penance Stairs, whatever his spender is called, the 6-cost 1/12 dice into my Iron Man. I blocked 4 and he rolled 6 hits or something like that. And I took 1. I was in shock. I was like, I don't even know why I'm rolling dice. And I rolled dice and I survived.
You roll them.
Yep. And then he immediately was like, okay, good game. And just put his hand up. All right. And then the next game was against Gil. My Luke is next to Logan. Gil decides to tornado claw into Luke, Bill, and Sam. His beam targets all of them. Luke tanked all 3 of the attacks. And then, I can't remember. It was 3 attacks. And then I think he needed to go after Bill because Bill had an extract. And then Luke died on the 3rd attack. And then Bill just Sam leadershipped out of range 3 of Logan. So he just didn't get any.
I want to enjoy that story, but both of the last 2 times that I have played into Logan, my Luke has died on the very first attack of the beam, just from full health. Happened at Adepticon and happened in a practice game. And I'm just like, I'm going to throw. That's why I repainted Luke. I'm like, we need a change, big guy.
Yeah, Stone Flosson not going to die to claws, that's for sure. He's got the knee brace now.
He does.
So it's been fall over as easily.
God damn it.
What else is there? What else is interesting?
Were there any surprises from NashCon? What, like affiliations or dub that you weren't expecting?
Yes, there was. I'll take this one. The guy I played in the top 4 game played Midnight Suns. Not only did he play Midnight Suns, although he had an Immortal Hulk in his roster, he was playing basically straight Midnight Suns without Immortal Hulk. I think he played in the 8 games or something, he played like Immortal Hulk like once or twice. But he was basically just playing regular old Midnight Suns, like Blade, Voodoo, Strange, Iron Fist, Moon Knight. I thought that was really cool that he did that well and got top 4 just playing regular old Midnight Suns.
What a G. I would not have expected that from watching the event on Longshanks. I'd have been like, oh, we got it. Mm-hmm. So that's cool to hear.
Yeah, that's when I saw he made top cuts. I was like, oh, sweet. That's cool. We got a Midnight Suns Immortal Hulk make it. But then I was talking with him and whatnot, and he's like, yeah, I don't really play Immortal Hulk unless I have to or the list forced me to. And I'm like, that's cool. I'm like, how many times have you played it? He's like, oh, I think I've played 1 game. I was like, that's awesome. So
that's not the answer I would have expected at all. So it's good to hear.
We also had an Inhumans player make the top 8, the top cut.
He did. Yes, he did. I played him actually.
Was it like pure Inhumans?
So we played, I want to say it was Montesian Scoundrels. Yeah. He played Black Bolt, Miss Marvel, Quicksilver, Power Ronin, and Bill.
I like it.
Which is interesting. Being judged by Ronin's annoying, but Sam just clears it.
It's also a really good home for Bill, right? It's one of the affiliations that just lets him throw on demand.
Yeah, so, yeah, for sure.
I have a good story, Deaton. You want to hear how good of a player I am?
If you're leading in with this, I have high expectations for what's going to happen here.
Great. This is great. This is
the NashCon champ, by the way.
Yeah. So I won the tournament. Okay. So I'm playing Aaron in the finals of NashCon. And we're playing Webs and I'm playing Sam. We got Scrolls in Infinity Formula and we're playing the game. And we get to round, I believe it was 4. And I look down and I realize, I was like, why don't I have much power? I played the entire finals game without giving my characters extra infinity power. The entire game without giving infinity power.
Oh my goodness. What are you doing?
Yep.
Sooner, you have to tell the story about your Helios.
Yeah. I'm just a really good player, right, guys? Like, really good player. So I'm playing Andy, and I'm getting pretty frustrated because dice are just going horribly for me. But I'm having Voodoo and Bill basically run the extracts and the table in scoring points. So I'm just barely staying ahead of points and everything. And so it comes down to round 4, and he just attacked and killed Iron Man. So Iron Man flips and I'm like, all right, hell yeah, I'm Heliosing. I was like, I'm Heliosing something. It's going to die. All right. My dice have been terrible. I'm going to Helios something and it's dead. So I do a 20 dice Helios. The only thing that was in range from me was X-23. I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'll kill X-23. She's a menace. I do a 20 dice Helios. The best part of the Helios is I rolled 5 hits on 20 dice. 23 lives. He rolls 3 blocks. She only takes 2 damage and lives on 1. And I'm like, mother. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Like,
no, you didn't tell the story right.
Hold on.
Okay.
I'm like, this is unbelievable. And then after the game, Andy goes, I had a 0% chance to die. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, I had exceptional healing. I was like, I am the biggest idiot in the entire fucking world. I was like, I just Helios a 20 dice attack into a model who has exceptional up. Like, how bad of a player am I? Like, I didn't even kill her. He was like, I was like, Andy, you could have at least told me that when I was like sweating bullets because I just did a 20 dice and I didn't kill. You could have been like, I had Helios or exceptional anyway, so you weren't going to kill her. I would have felt a lot better about it at the time. Like, I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like,
fraudulent tournament confirmed.
That was worth every penny.
Yeah.
That. Oh God, absolutely love it.
Funny because I've done that to other people. I've had my either Wolverine or X-23 Helios and played exceptional like multiple times. And I'm always like, God, I feel so bad for this person. And yeah, I did it. Did it in a semi top 8 of a tournament. Yeah. It's awesome.
So
the moral of the story is you can make mistakes, and if you just play really solid MCP outside of those dumbass mistakes, you still can win.
You just play Sam.
Yeah, just play Sam and play Voodoo and
Sam
play
fixes
well.
Fixes your mistakes for you.
Yeah, they fix it.
Oh, I'm overextended to this final. Just leadership out. No problem. I'm out of position. I'll just play Assemble. No problem.
So in that game, I have to ask, how many times did you say, oh, I think I've lost?
A 0, because I was winning the game on points.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
But I did say that one time in the tournament, and I was right. It was when my Bill had the huge whiff in playing Aaron into Voodoo. But yeah, I did not say that, but I was apologizing to Andy because I was getting a little frustrated about dice. I will say in that game, though, so my offensive dice were just god awful, just absolutely awful. But I did roll real well on defensive dice, and that ended up winning me the game. So I guess I shouldn't say my dice were awful because I did roll well defensively. And that allowed me just to keep the point value because I was just playing scenario. So it was just my offensive dice that were really bad. And Cassandra Nova was effing me up, boy.
Dude, people are pretty excited about the Cassandra Nova deck.
And yeah. You've been playing her for a long time.
Yeah, he plays her well, forever. Man. He plays her really well. She was messing me up.
Yeah, she's a model that can definitely get you when you don't know what's going on, and sometimes even when you do. But it's a very different way to play the game. She forces threat ranges so well, and the positioning is like very difficult, especially with the X-Men Stormhop. So
it's probably worth shouting out Aaron. He just kicked everyone's butt with webs.
I thought he played really well. I played him in two games. One of them was the finals, and our scores were 16-15, him. And then in the finals, I won 16-15. Yeah, incredibly close game. So definitely shout out to him. He played Web Warriors. He played them well. He played a very aggressive, just scenario game, and it made me want to play Web Warriors a little bit.
Same. If I wasn't locked into Shield for WTC, I definitely would pivot, but
me pivoting helps nobody.
Yeah. It was an interesting finals game because going into the last round, once I killed Gwen, which I did right off the bat, I knew I had won the game. I knew I had won the game because it was impossible unless Miles one shot Bill with a one attack, and Bill was on full health with power to reduce. So unless he one-shot Bill, I knew I had the game won because there was no way he could stop me from getting 3 points. And at the time, the score was 13-10. And if you do the math, there's only 8 points on the table. And if I score 3, he scores 5 at 16-15. So he spent a lot of time round 4 or 5, whichever round it was, trying to figure out a plan. The whole time, I'm like, there's no way. So it was an interesting game. So I ended up winning 16-15, but all I did really the last round is just activate my characters and put a check mark on them and just say, stand on this point.
Yeah, that's a lot of what Webb's Deaton's saying. It's chess. You're like, I just have to move here. Because if you make attacks and you miss, you basically lose the game. It's usually a lot of it.
Yeah, I was impressed there. He played very well. Both of those games were very challenging.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's a fun guy to play. Fun guy to play. He's not super tight. He's not too serious about it. Like it was a fun finals game.
Oh yeah, Aaron's great. I've played against him a bunch and it's always been a fun time. Pleasure. I have noticed. Frick, what was I gonna say? I don't remember. I forgot. Dang it. What else we got? Is there anything else?
I think we covered what we said we wanted to cover.
Sooner, you got anything else?
No, not really. Not unless you want to talk about the things you could or couldn't do better or like chess clocks, but then we could talk about like that for 20 minutes. So
no, I think chess clocks is probably fine. I don't know. I enjoyed playing Sam. I hadn't played him in a while and he's still sweet.
So let me ask for all of us, WTC is next. What did you learn from NashCon that you're looking to figure out in the 6-ish weeks before WTC?
I'm going to CarlCon, so excuse you.
All right, sorry.
I don't know, Sooner, you got an answer to that one?
I just really got to get some games in and figure out what I'm going to play. Because I think we pretty much have our whole team nailed down except myself. And I don't know. I need to play more games to figure out how comfortable I am with Wakanda. And it's not only Wakanda, I think Wakanda's fine and would be a good affiliation to take, but it's Wakanda without, I don't get any of the quote unquote good stuff. It's Wakanda without Bill. It's Wakanda without Voodoo. It's Wakanda without Dynamo. Is that doable? Or do I need to flex and do I need to play another affiliation that doesn't necessarily need those things and can function a little better on their own?
Yeah, that is definitely an issue we need to figure out.
Because the list I have currently, I don't know how well that's going to do, if I'm honest. It could do really well, but I'm not like, again, I haven't practiced it enough to know. I've only lost one game with it, and it was against Gil, and it didn't matter what I played in that game. I was going to lose that game. Literally, no, I could have played six Malekith, and I would have lost that game. I don't know. It may be fine, but I just need to practice, and I just need to test more.
So to answer Deaton's question for myself, I did play Shield in the team event at NashCon on Friday, and oh boy, is Shield fun in team events. All of our opponents' teams were just like throwing people to the wolves for me. They're like, we'd put somebody down and they'd be like, all right, who wants to play in Shield? No one would say anything and they'll just be like, fine, I'll go.
Who has the least chance of winning a game? Okay, you go play Shield.
Yeah, just nobody wanted to play against Shield at all. And I get it, right? But yeah, Shield is super, I'm super stoked to play them at WTC. I think it's a very fun format for them. So yeah, I think it'll be a good time.
I like it.
I have mostly my entire Shield roster. Currently have Honey Badger and Strucker, which could be fun. I don't know yet. Honey Badger I'd probably keep. But I got Dynamo and Bullseye, which is like the big ones. So
you sure you don't want to give Dynamo up?
What's up?
Are you sure you don't want to give Dynamo up? Because
I'm the only person playing Mappy in the team. Yeah, no, I definitely have reconfirmed my suspicion that Shield is awesome in team format and definitely want to stick with them for that. So I'm happy that I invested so much time in playing them.
Sweet.
All right, I guess we can stop there. Listeners, thank you for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. It might be 2 weeks. We'll be just before Mini Extravaganza. All right, see you next time.